Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Already off the bat, I can tell you my takeaway tonight is that the old is better. Now, for some of you, you're thinking, yeah, finally, he acknowledges that the older is the better. And while I'm saying this somewhat half-heartedly, I do obviously agree with you in many cases. I prefer the old red hymnal, which is why we're singing a hymn out of it tonight. I prefer the King James, the older translations. They are a part of my memory, and they're a part of many of yours. But the older being better is definitely true, at least I've been told, about wine. The concept here, though, is that it is aged. It is time-tested. It is not like we take songs right off of the radio written by someone who does not confess the triune God, written by someone who does not understand the depth of communion or the beauty of baptism. We do not just take songs immediately off the radio before they have been time-tested, sung in multiple places. Rather, the songs that we sing have typically been around a long time, many of which existed in a language prior to our own English tongue. Our old Lutheran hymnal is faulty in this one way. I'm sure there are others, but you'd have to show them to me. It does lose many of the beautiful Latin and Greek hymns of the Catholic Church, the Church Catholic, the Universal Church. It focuses more primarily on taking that our German traditions, and sadly, because we're trying to switch quickly from German into English, we take hymns translated by Anglicans as opposed to taking the time to dig into the theology. The point that Jesus is making is not that something is better just because it is older. However, if you've ever used your parents' appliances or grandparents' appliances, you know that they last much longer than the two-year products that we have today. But the point is that this is time-tested. This is proven. Jesus himself is nothing new. Yes, he has taken on flesh at a specific time, but he is without beginning. He is without end. He is the eternal Word begotten of the Father before all worlds began. He is time-tested. He is approved by the Father. And when people come to question him about his practices, he proves his point. Jesus, why is it that the disciples of John and our own disciples of the Pharisees are fasting and we always see your disciples eating and drinking and being merry? Why do you not follow our customs? Fasting is an absolutely appropriate Christian custom. It was practiced by people in the Old Testament. Jesus himself practices it for 40 days as he is tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And Jesus will point forward to the practice as well. But he explains to them, while the bridegroom is present at the wedding party, at the feast, the best man, the groomsmen are rejoicing with the bridegroom. This is not the time for the fasting. This is the feast. The bridegroom has come to wed his bride. Jesus will wed his bride on his cross. He will put a garment upon her as water and blood flow from his side. He will feed her in the marriage feast by giving up his body and shedding his blood. Jesus is not condemning the practice of fasting. Rather, he is explaining all things in their proper time. It is necessary for us to remember that fasting is a good practice. Jesus speaks of it here and in Matthew 6. He points to the fact that this will be the practice of his people. But they will not be fasting so that they can earn salvation. They are not fasting so that they can have the works necessary to earn their own salvation. Rather, they will be fasting because it is good physical outward training. Luther writes that in the Small Catechism, doesn't he? How is one worthy and well prepared? He says, fasting is certainly fine outward training. Lutherans historically fasted on Sunday morning before receiving the sacrament because they understood that you are to train the body to receive that which is necessary for the soul. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God. Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days. In Matthew 6, Jesus speaks of prayer, of almsgiving, charitable deeds, and of fasting. So we do this fasting not to be seen by others, not so that we can feel like we're better than other people, but so that we are training our body. For you are body and soul. God has created you both. But especially here in America, when we have everything at our very fingertips, when you can get a Big Mac or a greasy taco delivered to you just by pushing a button, we don't understand fasting because we don't also understand feasting. Every day for us is like a feast. We as Americans feast better than most kings throughout all of history. So fasting is hard for us to understand. We see our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters fasting during the seasons of Lent, and so we associate that only with them as though it's not somehow good and beneficial for us. But this is wrong. Yes, there are exemptions for small children. There are exemptions for pregnant and nursing women. There are exemptions for those who are infirm or struggle with health issues. But for the vast majority of the people, this is a good practice. I would encourage you to try it. Not because it's going to somehow win God's favor, not because he's going to look at it and say, now you get to go into heaven, but because you recognize that your body was created by God to give glory to his holy name. And when I can't look at a Big Mac and deny it, I'm allowing these things to have idolatry. I am allowing them to be Lord over me. I'm not saying you can't have a Big Mac, but to strive toward one every day to the point where you are so addicted to it that you can't get enough. This is not what God has created you for. Fasting is certainly fine outward training. Practice it as you are able so that you are receiving the blessings of the Word of God. But remember as well that it's faith in the Word of God that actually makes you worthy and well prepared. It is repentance. It is turning away from your sins. And it is a confession that this body is given for me, that this blood is shed for me for the remission of sins. That's what will truly make you worthy and well prepared. Faith in the Word of God. So yes, oftentimes older things are better, but not just because they are old, but because they are time-tested. Do not eschew the wonderful traditions of your forefathers for the newest, brightest, shiniest things. The service that we sing here tonight, the service that we sing on Sunday, Lutherans have sung in English since 1888. But even then, the service is much older than that, tying us back into our German forefathers tying us back into our Latin forefathers, our Greek forefathers, and even our Hebrew forefathers in the faith. Time tested because they are eternal. Eternal because they are the Word of God. The church sings a stanza that's missing in your current hymnal, but is found in our old hymnal. Preserve, O Lord, thy children, thine own blessed heritage. Resist, disperse, and scatter those who against thee rage. Let thy commandments guide us, grant us thy heavenly food. Clothe us in thy rich garments, bought with thy precious blood. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.